السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Explaining the subject of financial sacrifice, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam stated on one occasion that in this world, man is greatly in love with money. And that is why it has been written in the book Ilmut Tabirur Roya, i.e. the interpretation of dreams, that if one sees themselves in a dream taking their liver out and handing it over to someone, then it is interpreted as money. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam further states that it is for this reason that in order to attain true righteousness, God Almighty has stated that you cannot attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam further states that this is because a large part of showing sympathy and affording good treatment to the creation of God is linked to the spending of one's wealth. And without this, one cannot perfect or strengthen their faith. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam states that how can one prove to be of benefit to another unless one does not make sacrifices? Sacrifice is essential in order to provide benefit and extend sympathy to others. And in this verse, which states that you cannot attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love, we have been taught and directed towards sacrifice. Thus, to sacrifice one's wealth in the way of God is indeed a standard and a benchmark for one's good fortune and righteousness. In another extract, which I shall read out, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam states the fact is that unless one bears temporary difficulties, it is not possible to attain the pleasure of God, which is the source of true happiness. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states that blessed are those who, for the sake of attaining the pleasure of God, care not about any pain. Because the light of everlasting happiness and comfort is only granted to believers after experiencing temporary difficulties. The world today thinks that to accumulate wealth and to spend it in one's own comfort and luxuries alone can become a means of granting one happiness and peace. However, a believer who has true knowledge of faith knows that although God Almighty has created these comforts and these amenities, but the true objective of one's life is to seek the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. And it is to adopt righteousness and fulfill the dues of God Almighty and also of His creation. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has expounded upon this subject, which Allah the Almighty has mentioned in this verse. The promised Messiah explains that true peace can be acquired by good deeds and not by gathering wealth. Also, deeds cannot reach their true merit unless one spends out of that which he loves most for the sake of fulfilling the rights of God Almighty and His creation. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that money and wealth is something that man loves dearly. And today, if we assess the situation of the world, we find that much of the chaos, disorder, and restlessness is due to the love and greed for wealth. Furthermore, if the worldly people do acquire large amounts of wealth, they do not even know how to spend it. Indeed, there are many wealthy and affluent people in these countries of the West, which are also known as the developed countries. However, what do they spend their wealth on? Here, the things that they offer to them are casinos, in which they squander their money on vain extravagances and on gambling. In fact, the situation of the Muslim countries and the Muslims is also no different. They too come here and indulge in these extravagances. And their own countries also have similar establishments where people can lavishly spend their wealth. A short while ago, I saw an advertisement in a magazine of a hotel in Dubai, which was selling a cup of ice cream, which had two or three scoops of ice cream and cost $850. It said that it contained saffron from a particular country and certain other ingredients from such and such country and covered with edible gold. However, in a poor country, $850 is enough for a whole family to manage with an excellent standard. However, these people spend it on just one single cup of ice cream. Thus, those who have countless amounts of wealth do not even know how to spend it, and nor do they know how to acquire peace and comfort from it. There is no doubt that they spend their wealth, but they simply do it to fulfill their vain pursuits and not for seeking the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and to attain good deeds. However, Allah the Almighty states, and which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has then expounded upon, that in order to attain true righteousness, faith and the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, one should spend one's wealth for compassion and kind treatment of God's creation, instead of spending it on vain pursuits and extravagances. And if this is not the case, then one cannot attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Showing compassion to mankind does not only consist of taking care of the needs of the disadvantaged, but also to take care of their needs relating to religion, faith, and bringing them closer to God Almighty. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to become anxious over this, and which is something that the Holy Quran has also recorded, when God Almighty stated that, "Will you grieve yourself to death, sorrowing after their condition?" And so, what exactly was that condition of the people, which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became anxious over? It was the fact that they had moved away from God Almighty and from their faith. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would grieve over their condition, because by not accepting faith, they may face punishment from God Almighty. Thus, in this day and age, apart from fulfilling the material and physical needs of people and helping the poor, it is also very important for us Ahmadis to spend our wealth for the spiritual needs of people too. This is because the task of spreading the teachings of Islam to the whole world has been entrusted to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. The teaching which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam brought for the whole of mankind, and was extremely anxious for its propagation. This is now the time for its propagation, and all the various means are now available for it. And just as the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, was entrusted with this task, in the same way, his followers have also been entrusted with this task. The task has been entrusted to those who pledge that they will give precedence to their faith over worldly affairs. The rich spend on rich extravagances, and they have so much wealth that they do not even know what to spend and how to spend it. And after spending on all their essential needs, they still don't know what they should spend the rest of their wealth on. And that is because faith and compassion for mankind is generally missing from their lives. And aside from vain extravagances and immoral deeds, they see nothing else. However, a mu'min, i.e. a true believer, is told by God Almighty to not only spend from one's surplus wealth, but in order to acquire true piety, and to seek the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, they should put themselves through difficulties and should spend from that wealth which they most love. Although many affluent people donate towards charities and make other contributions, however, the amount they give as compared to their income is significantly small, and neither are they regular in their payments. Thus, it is only a believer who spends with regularity and for virtuous causes and to acquire good deeds. And in this day and age, it is only the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, which is that community of believers who spend their wealth through a proper system in place and for the propagation of Islam. And for this, there are many forms of tabligh, i.e. preaching, involved. And it spends its wealth on mankind out of compassion for them and to fulfill their rights. And there are many people who bear great difficulties in order to contribute towards this. And they do it with the conviction that on one hand, where this donation will serve as a means of attaining the nearness of Allah the Almighty and winning His pleasure, there it also offers them assurance that this money will be spent properly. And even some non-Ahmadis accept the fact that the financial system of the Jamaat is excellent. Our missionary in Kababi wrote that two retired professors from the University of Jerusalem, along with their two foreign guests, came to our mission house in Kababi. He says, "I had the opportunity to discuss about the community and told them about the Nizam-e-Jamaat, i.e. the administrative system of the community. One of the guests was a professor from Austria, and at the end of the discussion he said that one of the best things that he found about our community was that its financial system was extremely pure. He further added that perhaps to bring about a revolution through a pure financial system was destined for our community, and congratulated the community for this. For chanda, i.e. financial contributions, it is essential that the money is earned through pure means. God Almighty has also stated that one should spend out of the wealth which is pure and has been earned through pure means. It should not be spent from the wealth that has been earned by being dishonest and through evading tax or through any other wrongful means. Therefore, financial contributions are only accepted from those regarding whom it is assured that the money has not been earned through any wrong means. And if it is, then the Nizam-e-Jamaat, i.e. the administrative body of the Jamaat, does not accept that contribution. However, if one is aware of this and yet still accepts it, and I come to learn of this, then either that contribution is returned or the office bearer is removed from his post. Thus, the contribution should be such that it should be given as a result of having offered a sacrifice and out of that wealth which is pure. Only then can one's wealth be blessed. When non-Ahmadis are told of this principle, then even they acknowledge this, just as the professor also did. Moreover, the worldly people will also observe that if anyone is to bring about a revolution, then it is this community. Therefore, as long as our intentions are virtuous and we try to earn our money through pure means and spend it in the way of Allah the Almighty, we indeed can become the means of bringing about a revolution. And this revolution is destined for us because God Almighty has promised this to the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. However, this revolution is not going to be of any worldly nature. Rather, it is going to be a spiritual revolution. It is to spread the message of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all over the world. And it is to establish the unity of Allah the Almighty and to fulfill the rights of His creation. These are not just mere words uttered by man. In fact, God Almighty has promised the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that He will increase the sincere and loving followers of His and who shall fulfill His task and will be ready to make every sacrifice for the completion of His mission. And so, speaking about the loyalty of the members of His community, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "The level of devotion and loyalty that was shown by the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was such that its example is never to be found in the history of the world. They bore all kinds of difficulties without making nothing of it, purely for His sake. They even left their country and all their wealth, possessions and relatives. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam adds, "Similarly, I have seen that God Almighty has granted my Jamaat such passion, and they demonstrate their devotion and loyalty. Although the status of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely high, but the status of the companions who did the bayat of the promised Messiah alaihi salatu wasalam was also extremely high. Mentioning the financial sacrifices of His Jamaat, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "They have open-heartedly contributed for my religious endeavors and objectives. Almost every individual takes part according to his or her capacity and ability. Only Allah knows with how much sincerity and loyalty they take part in these financial contributions." But the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "However, I know very well that our Jamaat has shown the devotion and loyalty which the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed in the time of extreme difficulty." Once, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam expressed how astonished he was and how members of his Jamaat offered such great level of sacrifices after the witnessing the standard of their sacrifices. Thus, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam brought about a revolution in his followers, who were ready to discard their worldly desires and give preference to faith. However, has that spirit of sacrifice which he had instilled in his followers who directly took bayat at his hands finished now? And was it only for that limited period? If that was the case, then the Jamaat would never have been able to achieve any kind of success. Also, God Almighty had promised to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that He shall grant him prominence with great honor in every part of the world. And so it was necessary for a Jamaat which was full of sincerity, passion, and ever ready for offering sacrifices. Similarly, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had received the news from God Almighty and gave the glad tidings that after him the institution of Khilafat will be established, which will complete and fulfill his mission. And by attaching themselves to it, the sincere members would help carry out that task. Thus, today we see how Allah the Almighty continues to fulfill those promises, and that there is a jamaat of sincere members, and they are offering sacrifices of their life, wealth, and time, while remaining firmly attached with Khilafat. Since today I will be announcing the new year for Tehreek-e Jadeed, therefore I will present some examples of those who offer sacrifices, and which are related to financial sacrifices. One is astonished to learn that it is not only those in affluent countries that offer sacrifices. In fact, it is also people belonging to poor countries. And also God Almighty opens the hearts of those who just newly joined Ahmadiyyat. And despite the difficult circumstances, they are excelling in their sacrifices. The missionary in charge of Guinea-Conakry writes that there is a jamaat here, Somiyavi, and its imam, along with the people of his mosque, embraced Ahmadiyyat this year. When he was told about the financial system of the Jamaat and about Tehreek-e Jadeed, he said that he had given many lectures on financial contributions and also on Zakat, but he had never witnessed such a strong and comprehensive financial system anywhere else, and nor had he heard of one. He straight away made some financial contribution and then said that he now promised that his Jamaat will offer financial contribution every month. These are those people who belong to areas of poverty, and their standard of poverty is far below the standard of poverty we know in Europe or in the West. They are extremely poor, and yet their levels of sacrifices are extremely high. Then this is not the story of just one country. In fact, this is happening in many countries of the world. First, I mentioned Guinea-Conakry. And now the missionary in charge of Ivory Coast writes that we went to the village of Kupene for the purpose of preaching and conveyed the message of Ahmadiyya to them. This message was listened to very carefully by all men and women. A Sunni friend said that many people have come here to preach, but we have never before heard a message as appealing as this one. As a result, almost 300 people joined Ahmadiyyat straight away by taking the oath of allegiance. Next, these new converts were introduced to the financial system of the community and were given information about Tehreek-e Jadeed. During the discussion, it was mentioned that today was the last day of Tehreek-e Jadeed's financial year. At this, the chief and the imam of the village said that though we have joined the community only today, but we will definitely take part in this blessed scheme. And so, the villagers made a collective contribution of 10,000 francs for Tehreek-e Jadeed right away. Then there is another example of financial sacrifice from another country in Africa, Tanzania. In the region of Mwanza, there is an Ahmadi friend who promised to contribute 200,000 shillings towards Tehreek-e Jadeed. He paid off 100,000 shillings, and 100,000 was still outstanding. He writes that in October, Amir Sahib, i.e. the national president of the country, wrote to remind him that the financial year of Tehreek-e Jadeed was coming to an end by the end of the month, and he still had some outstanding contributions to make. At this, he responded by saying that I'm traveling at present, but will find a way to get the money to you in time. Therefore, he gave the outstanding amount to a non-Ahmadi bus driver and explained to him that this is my financial contribution and it is really important that this is paid in time. He instructed the driver to give this money to the Muallim as soon as he gets there. He also gave the bus driver the Muallim Sahib's name and address. So as soon as the driver arrived at the bus stand, he rang the Muallim Sahib and explained to him that I have got something that I have been keeping safe for you. Please come and collect this. When the Muallim Sahib arrived to collect the chanda, The driver said to him that I would like to become an Ahmadi, and that his wife and children were already Ahmadi, but he had not accepted Ahmadiyya yet, because he was not fully convinced. He said that I found this whole episode very moving. This is a material world where people love their money, and we come from a very poor area. Yet I was astounded to see that God Almighty has created such people who find true happiness and peace in contributing their money for the sake of God Almighty. Thus, the act of an Ahmadi person to send their financial contribution via a bus driver became the source of guidance to him and was the reason why the bus driver accepted Ahmadiyya. And so, these are the contributions made with the purest of intentions, and their results become evident straight away. The act of making the sacrifice of one's most precious possession, i.e. money, become the source of guidance of a pure soul. And so this is how Allah the Almighty finds ways to reward the efforts. Similarly, Amir Sahib of Senegal writes that a non-Ahmadi father of a member of our community, Umar Sahib, who lived in Guinea-Conakry, came to see us. He was extremely unwell, and after initial consultation and checkup, doctors advised him to have an operation on his prostate. However, Umar Diallo Sahib did not have enough funds to pay the bill for his father's operation, and it was also not possible for him to take such a big loan. He was extremely worried. Amir Sahib says that during the first week of October, I drew people's attention towards making a contribution towards Tehreek-e-Jadid. The next day, Umar Sahib came to the mission house and offered to make the contribution for Tehreek-e-Jadid. Amir Sahib says that I knew about his circumstances really well, so I said to him that you are in need of money as it is, and your father is really ill, so how would you be able to afford this sacrifice? At this he said that in your sermon yesterday you said that this Tehreek-e-Jadid is a deal with God Almighty, and I have come today to make a deal with Allah the Almighty. Therefore, please accept my contribution. Amir Sahib says that 2 days later, when I went to their home to visit his ailing father, I saw that he was sitting comfortably outdoors on a chair. Umar Sahib and his father explained that our deal has been successful, and with the grace of God, my father is absolutely fine and he has no pain. After a few days, doctors checked him up again and said that there was no need for any operation anymore. Therefore, after this incident, his father also took the bath, i.e. oath of allegiance. And so, at times, God Almighty deals in such obvious and clear terms with his people. Last week, during the inauguration of the mosque, I also explained out a person from here, in Canada, about how he gave preference to commit himself to the service of the mosque, and how God Almighty arranged for him to receive a very large sum in extremely extraordinary circumstances. A worldly person might think that this is just a coincidence. However, a person who believes in God and has faith totally appreciates that all this has happened because of the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Similarly, there is a Jamaat in Congo Kinshasa, and the Ahmadi friend is called Ayub Kokondulo. He says that I did not used to take part in the activities of the community. My son was chronically ill, and a large part of my income was spent on his treatments. He then says that I was given the responsibility to serve as the finance secretary of the local community. At this I thought that now I have been given the responsibility as finance secretary, therefore the standard of my own financial sacrifice should be a model for others. Now just think about this. A poor man living in a small village of a faraway country appreciates that now I have been given the responsibility as the finance secretary, therefore the level of my own sacrifice should be better than others. He says, I then started to contribute chanda regularly, and with the blessing of chanda, my circumstances began to change for the better. My life became more peaceful and more fluent, and my son, with the grace of Allah the Almighty, is enjoying a better health and is free of disease now. And I truly believe that all this is the result of serving the community and making financial sacrifices. There is a phrase in Urdu which states that you make sacrifices by cutting a part of your stomach. And we all hear this, but we can't really appreciate the truth behind this saying until we reflect upon some of the incidences like these. The level of sacrifices made by those who are poor themselves brings this saying into light. A lady from Gambia accepted Ahmadiyya, and she belonged to a village called Jida. When she was informed about Tehreek-e-Jadid, this lady said that in my home, I only have 100 dalasi so that I can buy a sack of rice, as I have run out of my rice in my house. This lady also told that her only son, who was the main breadwinner of the family, was missing for the past 2 years. And people say that he has passed away now, as he has not been seen and no one has heard from him for 2 years. However, this lady said that it is fine. I will take some loan and buy items for food, but I will give these 100 dalasi for chanda for Tehreek-e-Jadid, and God Almighty will sort something out for me himself. And so, within 3 days after this incident, her son was missing for the last 2 years returned, and he also brought with him 10 sacks of rice and a large sum of money. And the son told his mother that while he was away, he learned the building works, and now he lived in the city and was able to tender good building contracts. And so this lady says that this is the blessing of my financial sacrifice, and I will continue to take part in this. Is this not a revolution that God Almighty has produced in people living in faraway countries because of their faith in the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam? Indeed, it is. Just reflect on the elevated state of faith of this woman, that she did not even care about her hunger. And then how God Almighty responded to her sacrifice is also astounding. Then, the missionary in charge from Mali writes that an Ahmadi lady who is 80 years old always contributes to chanda regularly. One day she walked for 1 kilometer in searing heat to come to the mission house. She was in a really bad shape because of the heat. In these countries, the heat is absolutely immense. The missionary charge said to her that if you would have told me, I would have come to collect the chanda from you. She said that now that I have learned about financial sacrifice and its importance, I am not prepared to waste the blessings that come with this. So she walked to make a contribution to the financial sacrifice and also gave the money in chanda that she would have paid for a rickshaw fare. So these are the standards of people who live in faraway regions. Allah the Almighty grants strength to the people's faith through personal experiences. And this is something that is evident in every incident. A Muallim from Benin, a local missionary, Zakariya Sahib, narrates an incident that the Sadr of Jamaat, Sene Pota, lost his job, which made him very concerned. During those days, he was also reminded of Tehreek-e-Jadid. And after some days had passed, he said that when I was reminded of paying the chanda, i.e. the financial contribution, I became extremely worried. And so I prayed to God Almighty that He should create such means whereby I could pay my Tehreek-e-Jadid. He further states that he spent the whole night in restlessness, and after offering the Fajr prayer, I went to a neighboring village in search for work. He says I could not find any work there, but there was a man who was going somewhere to sell his animals, and so I assisted that person, and he gave me 500 francs. He says that with this money, he purchased some supplies for food for 200 francs. And he gave 100 francs to his child who attended school. And 200 francs were given in chanda. He says that Allah the Almighty blessed him so much for this insignificant sacrifice that exactly 4 days after paying this chanda, he found work, and to find work so quickly and such work that is good is not a mere coincidence, but is rather sheer grace of Allah the Almighty. These were the incidents from Africa. The inspector of Tehreek-e Jadid in India writes that the inspector of the provinces of Andhra and Telangana, Shahabuddin Sahib, says that a friend from Hyderabad, who has a poor family background, began his business with 20,000 rupees. He runs a small shop, and when it's the time for prayers, he closes his shop. This is the quality of a true believer, that he closes his trade for prayer. He says that he gives a full month's income for Tehreek-e Jadid. And even this year, he gave 60,000 rupees in Tehreek-e Jadid. He lives in a rented house, and he says that one day I said to him that you should purchase your own home. To this he said that let things run as they are. The way the world is heading, there is no point in gathering money. So why should I not keep on spending in the way of Allah the Almighty? Similarly, in Pakistan, the deputy Vakilul Mal writes that he met a khadim from Sialkot. His promise was of 15,000 rupees, upon which I said to him that he should increase it to 100,000 rupees. Whereupon he increased his promise to 100,000 rupees. He started a business of exporting shoes, and in the beginning he gave 5,000 rupees, then 10,000 rupees, and then he increased it to 15,000, and further increased it to 100,000. He says that now, due to the blessings of the financial contributions, the factory that he had rented out, he had purchased it, and his business is now flourishing. Similarly, our missionary Indonesia writes that a local person said that if he had a motorcycle, then it would become easy for me and my son to offer the Friday prayer. And so, our missionary told him to pray and become regular in financial sacrifices. After this, he began paying his own and his family's chanda for Tehreek-e Jadid. He says that after a short period of time, Allah the Almighty blessed him and enabled him to purchase a motorcycle. And now instead of one, there are three motorcycles, and he has also done wasiyat, and his income has also increased. Here in Canada also there are some people, about whom Amir Sahib has written, for example, that there was someone whose chanda was $1,000, and they increased it to $5,000, and by the grace of Allah the Almighty, they were able to fulfill this promise, and they did it very early on, so that they could garner the blessings of Allah the Almighty, and they were enabled to contribute towards the construction of the mosque also. Similarly, there are some very faith-inspiring incidents here also. One woman from Canada says that my promise was $1,000. However, I had no money. In the evening, my husband phoned me and said someone has given me a check. I said that it is a check of $1,000. He said, how do you know? She said that I was worried that I had to pay the chanda for Tehreek-e Jadid and I had to pay $1,000. And I thought that Allah the Almighty has arranged this money, so it must be this much. Similarly, there are the European countries. Here there are new jamaats that are being established. The missionary of Croatia writes that due to poverty, there are very few job opportunities, and there is a large number of people who do not have any source of income. These individuals are generally either given money by their relatives, or if they find any work for 1 or 2 days, then they live off that money. He says that there is an elderly friend who takes keen interest in Jamaat works and spends all of his time in working for the Jamaat. But even when he is not working for the Jamaat, he tries his best to do some work or another whereby he can benefit the Jamaat. He says for approximately 1 year, he has been gathering empty cans so that he could give them for recycling and earn some money as a result. And so he gathered these cans for a whole year and handed them in for recycling. And in return, he only received $30. And with this amount, he immediately came to the mission house and gave $10 from it for chanda, i.e. for financial contribution, and said that I have made a promise for Tehreek-e Jadeed. And so the missionary states that he gave a third of what he earned for a whole year to the Jamaat. The secretary of Tehreek-e Jadeed of Germany writes that there is a lady who has not disclosed her name, but she came to the office of Tehreek-e Jadeed and offered all her jewelry towards Tehreek-e Jadeed. Her jewelry was so much that the entire table was filled with jewelry. There were necklaces of gold, rings, bangles, and there were many other items. Yet she said that she did not want her name to be disclosed, so that her sacrifice would be solely for God Almighty. Jewelry is a weakness of women, yet it is the Ahmadi women that make these sacrifices. Here I also met an Ahmadi lady, and she had given her jewelry towards the fund for a mosque. But she said that my in-laws were not happy with this and are saying to me that why have you given this, and giving some other taunts as well. Allah the Almighty blesses those who offer sacrifices for Him, and God willingly, Allah the Almighty shall also bless her for her sacrifice in His way and shall reward her. However, those people should worry who stop her or others from financial sacrifices. God Almighty is the one who provides with wealth, and He can also take it away from those who show ingratitude. And so one should always remember this. And that is why such people who entertain such thoughts should engage themselves in a lot of istighfar, i.e. seeking repentance from Allah the Almighty. There are also many incidents from Russia. One friend, Linar Sahib, says that his circumstances were very dire and he was staying in a rented flat and was gripped in many financial hardships. Yet, he would, in accordance to his circumstances, pay his obligatory chandas and Tehreek-e Jadeed. He says that due to the blessings of chanda, after his wife completed her medical college, she was given a governmental job, and the government also gave her a loan for her children's lodging. Now the financial circumstances are much better than before, and by the grace of Allah, we now have two cars. He says that all of this is due to the grace of Allah the Almighty, and as a result of paying the chanda. He says before we would also pay chanda in hard times, but now Allah the Almighty has given us in abundance. Now there is a person who is sitting in Russia, and Allah the Almighty is granting him His grace. And He is also blessing those in Africa and in Indonesia, in other countries and in Europe also. And all this proves the way Allah the Almighty treats His people. And the promise that Allah the Almighty has made to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, that He will provide a community of ardent lovers and will enhance them in faith. Thus those who excel towards Allah the Almighty, Allah also elevates them in their faith. There are countless incidents of financial sacrifice and the blessings of Allah the Almighty as its result have been reported to me, so much so that it became difficult for me to decide which ones to select. I have presented just a few. As I already mentioned, such is the treatment by Allah the Almighty of the people of almost every country, that those who sacrifice in His cause while putting their trust in Him, He showers His countless favors upon them. This should be a sufficient proof of the truth of Ahmadiyyat for any reasonable person. Why does Allah the Almighty bestow His favors upon those who offer sacrifices? This is because these donations are being spent on the propagation of the faith. Certainly, those from poorer countries also make financial contributions. However, their expenditure is much higher than their contributions. Thus, the Merkaz, i.e. the center, spends the contributions made in affluent countries on poorer countries as their own budgets do not suffice. There are hundreds of schools, dozens of hospitals, hundreds of mission houses, and hundreds of mosques are built every year, and all that requires funds. And these requirements are met through the funds of Tehreek-e-Jadeed and Waqf-e-Jadeed. Likewise, millions of dollars are spent on MTA. And although there is a donation category of Amanat Tarbiyat or MTA towards which people contribute, however, the expenses are far greater. Regarding MTA, I also wish to say that according to the assessment, the level of regular tendency to watch MTA, which should have been there, does not exist here, or at least they do not listen to my live sermons. The Jamaat spends an unlimited amount for tarbiyat of the community. And so even if there is difference of time zones, the sermon should be watched when the repeat telecast is aired. Countless non-Ahmadis watch and then write to me that we are not affiliated to the Jamaat, but we listen to your sermons. Allah the Almighty has made MTA a means to attach the Jamaat with Khilafat. And if you do not pay heed to this at homes, then your children will gradually drift away. Allah the Almighty will certainly fulfill His promises that He made to the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, inshallah. And sincere members will also join. And you have seen how advanced the newcomers are in their sincerity. However, you must be mindful, lest the newcomers gather all kinds of blessings, while you merely pride yourselves with your forefathers being sahabis, i.e. companions of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, or with being old Ahmadis yourselves. Allah the Almighty is not the relative of anybody. If the old Ahmadis distance themselves, then their forefathers being sahabis or their relatives will be of no benefit to them. Therefore, before you come to regret, you must attach yourselves with Khilafat. And utilize the best means, that is MTA, which Allah the Almighty has granted for achieving this. There are also other countless excellent programs that are broadcast on MTA, but you must, as a minimum, watch my sermons. It should not be the case that you say that the local missionary read out the summary to us so we know what was said. There is a difference between listening to a summary and listening to something completely. Now, as I said earlier, that the new year of Tehreek-e-Jadeed was beginning and the old year was closing. I hereby announce the new year, and in my view, this announcement is being made from Canada for the first time. It is a great favor of Allah the Almighty upon the Jamaat that the Jamaat has expanded to such an extent. In 1934, the Ahrad used to talk of destroying the Jamaat. They used to speak of putting Qadian to ruin. And it was at that time that Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu announced this new scheme, i.e. Tehreek-e-Jadeed, and devised a plan to send missionaries all over the world. and it was a comprehensive plan for tabligh, i.e. preaching. And today, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, the Jamaat is recognized in every country, and it has been established in 209 countries of the world. Today, as an organized community, it is only the Ahmadiyya community upon which the sun never sets. There was a time when the Ahrar used to speak of silencing the voice of Ahmadiyyat from Qadian. And now today, a humble servant of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, is conveying the message of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, from this western corner of the earth to the entire world. The promise which Allah the Almighty made to the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, is being fulfilled in its full glory. Thus, in view of this, every Ahmadi should remember that these matters lay some responsibilities upon them. And to fulfill that responsibility is the duty of every one of you. May Allah the Almighty enable you to fulfill it. Now I shall announce the new year of Tehreek-e-Jadid, and as per tradition, I will also present some particulars. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the year of Tehreek-e-Jadid, which has closed on the October 31st, was its 82nd year, and the 83rd year has begun since November 1st, which, as I mentioned, I have now announced. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, according to the reports which have been received, Jamaat Ahmadiyya, that is the international Ahmadiyya community altogether, has contributed £10,933,000 sterling towards the financial system of Tehreek-e-Jadid, alhamdulillah. This contribution shows an increase of £1.77 million compared to last year. As for the rankings of the Jamaats, Pakistan has always stood first in any case, but apart from them, the positions are as follows. Number 1, Germany. Number 2 is UK. Number 3 is USA. Number 4 is Canada. Number 5 is India. Number 6 is Australia. 7 is a Middle Eastern country. 8 is Indonesia. 9 is another Middle Eastern Jamaat. 10 is Ghana. And 11 is Switzerland. Due to the fact that per person, Switzerland chanda is a lot more, that is why their name was written. Otherwise, the list is up to 10. Those who contributed per person America is at number 1, then Switzerland, then UK, then Finland, Singapore, Germany, Sweden, Norway, Japan, Canada. But before this, there are in fact 5 Middle Eastern Jamaats, however, we do not name them. In regards to the total contribution from the African countries that have outshined, Mauritius is one, then Ghana, Nigeria, Gambia, South Africa, Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Tanzania, and Mali. Also, by the grace of Allah, the number of participants has also increased by 90,000 this year, and 1.44 million people have participated in this. And those that have made a significant effort are Benin, Nigeria, Mali, Burkina Faso, Ghana, Liberia, Senegal, and Cameroon. There is a lot of attention that needs to be paid towards this in every part of the world. The registers of Daftar Awwal are fully functioning by the grace of Allah the Almighty, and chanda is being contributed by their relatives or those that are still alive. They are still contributing. The 3 major Jamaats of Pakistan, first is Lahore, then Rabwa, and third is Karachi. And in regards to contribution, the 10 Jamaats of the cities are, number 1 is Islamabad, then Multan, Quetta, Peshawar, Gujranwala, Hyderabad, Hafsabad, Miawali, Kotli, Khanewal, and Bahawalpur. The 10 provinces in Pakistan that have made the most sacrifices, and even in spite of poverty, the financial sacrifices of Pakistan are a very high standard. They are Sialkot is number 1, Faisalabad, Sargodha, Gujarat, Umarkot, Ukara, Narowal, Mirpur Khas, Toba Tek Singh, Mandi Bahauddin, and Mirpur Azad Kashmir. The first 10 Jamaats of Germany are Reutemark, Neuss, Weingarten, Rheinheim South, Florenzheim, Limburg, Cologne, Koblenz, Nida, and Mehdiabad. Amongst the 10 local Amaras, first is Hamburg, Frankfurt, Grossgrohe, Moifelden, Bulldorf, Wiesbaden, then Dietzenbach, Offenbach, Mannheim, Darmstadt, and then Riesstadt. In regards to the total contribution, the first 5 regions of UK are London B, London A, Midlands, North East, and then the South region. And the first 10 big Jamaats in regards to contribution are Masjid Fazl, which is number 1, then Worcester Park, Glasgow, Birmingham South, New Malden, Bradford, Islamabad, Gillingham, Mosque West, and then Wimbledon Park. Then in regards to the contributions per person, the first 5 regions are South West, Islamabad, Scotland, Midlands, North East. Then for the large amounts, it is Bromley, Lewisham, Lewington Spa, Islamabad, Scunthorpe, Birmingham South, Worcester Park, Gillingham, Bournemouth, Southampton, Masjid Fazl, and Mosque West. In regards to total contributions in the local Amarats of Canada, it is Peace Village is number 1, then Vaughan. Is Peace Village and Vaughan separate? So number 2 is Vaughan, then Calgary, Brampton, Vancouver, and then Mississauga. And in regards to the total contribution from the whole of Canada, it is Edmonton West, then Durham, then Saskatoon South, then Saskatoon North, Milton East, Ottawa West, Ottawa East, and then Regina. I would have thought that Lloyd Minster Jamaat is also good. It is an active Jamaat, and Sadar Sahib also looks very active in working. And I was told that the financial circumstances of the members there is also good, but they did not gain any position. In regards to the total contribution of the Jamaats of America, it is Silicon Valley, Oshkosh, then Oshkosh number 2, then Detroit, Seattle, then York, then Central Virginia, Los Angeles, Silver Spring, Central Jersey, Chicago, Southwest, and Los Angeles West. The top 10 Jamaats of India are Kerala, Kerala, Calicut, Kerala, Hyderabad, Andhra Pradesh, Patha Prem, Kerala, then it's Qadian, Kenanur Town, Kerala, Pangadi, Kerala, Delhi, Calcutta, Bengal, and Silur, Tamil Nadu. The first 10 provinces of India are as follows. Number 1, Kerala, Karnataka, then Andhra Pradesh, then Tamil Nadu, then Jammu Kashmir, Orissa, Punjab, Bengal, Delhi, and Maharashtra. Over the past few years, India has advanced. Initially, they were quite behind. The first 10 Jamaats of Australia are, and here they are also, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, moving forwards, Melbourne, Berwick, Castle Hill, ACT Canberra, Marsden Park, Brisbane, Logan, Melbourne, Longbourn, Adelaide South, Plumpton, Melbourne East, and likewise, in regards to the contribution, the first 10 Jamaats per person are Tasmania, Brisbane North, ACT, Canberra, Sydney, Metro Darwin, Parramatta, Melbourne, Berwick, Perth, Marsden Park, and Castle Hill. May Allah the Almighty bless all the participants in their wealth and their health, and bless their sacrifices. And may He further enable them to participate in sacrifices. And may He enable them to always establish a firm relationship with Khilafat.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.